can't be with us live. Okay, Bechoros Daf Chesam and Beis. We're still continuing the conversations between Rabbi Yeshua and the wise men, the sages of Athens. Of course, they can't hold the candle to Rabbi Yeshua. But let's see. Here's another attempt to try to stump one of the great Tanakh. Islan Rechaya Disvira. They said, we have a Rechaya. Rechaya is, what's Rechayim? Rechayim is a mill, a grinding stone. And it's Svira. Tevira means it's broken, right? So they said to Rabbi Yeshua, Chayte. You can see, he quotes Rashi. Underneath Chayte, Tfor Osa. Stitch it back together. Grinding mill is broken. Maybe you could sew it up. Okay. So Omar, so he said to them, Krochu li minei garde v'achayte. He says, he took, picked up like a broken piece of the grinding mill, and he threw it at them, and he said, you know, Krochu li minei, if you can extract, if you can draw out from it garde. Rashi says, Hotzio lami mena chutin, if you could pull out some threads, like what happens if your garment rips? You can't exactly sew up a grinding mill or a grinding stone. But if your garment rips, sometimes you can what? If it's slightly frayed, so you can pull out some of the threads and you can actually use that to try to patch it up a little bit. So he said to them, okay, you want me to sew up the grinding mill? You want me to sew up the millstone? No problem, so give me some, pull out some threads from the mill, and I'll be happy to stitch it up for you. Amru, so they said to him, Umi ika diyachol lemichach garde merechaya, is it possible to draw threads out of a grinding mill? Amru lehu, Umi ika dechaita rechaya, is it possible to stitch a grinding mill? That's the Gemara. Okay. So there's a broken millstone, right, used to take kernels of wheat to crush it into flour. And the sages of Athens said that the millstone is broken. Try to sew it together. He says, sure, no problem. If you can pull out some threads, I'll sew it up. They said, can you pull out threads from a grinding stone? To which he said, is there such a thing as sewing up a grinding stone? Okay. All right, so we see there's a little bit of the grinding mill, the production of flour, which is used to make bread, food. And then there's this element of clothing, food and clothing. That seems to be the theme. Let me tell you the punchline, the way I think kind of the bottom line of this piece is, because the words are so bekitzer. I feel like, you know, each time we do a piece, the Gra writes shorter and shorter. So we're left guessing. But I think the punchline of the Vilna Gaon is the following. Let's talk about a Mishnah Pirkei Avos for a second, okay? Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, Ein kamach in Torah. What does that mean? Ein kamach in Torah. So there's no flour. There's no Torah. Pashut Pshat means, if you don't have food, if you're starving, if you don't have your physical, of course, the tachlis of our life is to be b'nei Torah. Tachlis of our life is to be talmidei chachamim, to live a life that is infused with Torah and ruchnius and spirituality v'chulu. But ein kamach, if you don't have food, if you don't have bread, if you haven't had something to eat, it's going to be hard to concentrate on the shir, because all you're thinking about is your grumbling stomach. So, Ein Kemach in Torah. But then Chazal also say in Pirkei Avos, Ein Torah in Kemach. What does that mean? Ein Kemach in Torah, I understand. Ein Kemach, if there's no food, if you don't feed the troops, right, then they're not going to be able to engage in the Milchamta Shel Torah. They're not going to have the energy for learning. But what does Ein Torah in Kemach mean? There's no Torah, there's no Kamach. See, one of the challenges that we have with life as we see it is cause and effect. What's the cause, what's the effect?
Well, I mean, there's no need for the Kamach if you don't have today.
So that's interesting. I think that's how Rav Adi Mibartanura says in Pirkei Avos. Ein Torah, if you're not going to have Torah, then what's the point? What's the point of Kamach? In other words, what's the point of being alive? Why sustain your life? Why eat food? Why live if your life is meaningless, if your life is not filled with Torah? That's a deep shot. There's a lot to talk about there. I'm pretty sure that's what Rav Adi Mibartanura says on that Mishnah. although I haven't seen it in a while, so don't hold me to it if I'm wrong. But that's a good pshat. If not, it's Jack's pshat, which is also good. All right, the main Torah, if there's no Torah, so what's the point of the Kemach? But the other way to say it is that when we think about cause and effect, right? So how do I make my parnasa? How does a person have success in business? So one might say, well, I put in a lot of effort, ishtadlus. And I know if I study hard for the test, I get a good grade. And there's a truth to that, right? And I know that if I work hard, I'll impress my boss, I'll make a better living. There is a certain overly simplistic truth to that. But the real truth of the matter is, right, is that it's our spiritual aspirations and success that creates our physical well-being. In other words, when you have two people, you have a guy who's, and this is hard for us sometimes to believe, to wrap our head around. Right? You have a person who's learning Torah, and you have the person who's supporting the person who's learning Torah. Okay? The person's learning in Kola, and someone's supporting that this person should be able to sit and learn. So who's actually helping who? So the big gevir, who's giving a lot of money to the yeshiva, he says, what do you mean? Main kamach, without my money, ain't Torah, there'd be no Torah. But Chazal are revealing to us on a certain deep level, the main Torah, but if there was no yeshiva for you to support, Hashem wouldn't make you so rich. And so the Torah is actually creating your wealth. This, by the way, is part of the secret of what happens when Aaron is, you know, being questioned in the whole rebellion of Korach, they're questioning Aaron's place, and they take the staffs, and they line up the staffs, and the staff starts to blossom. So I once saw from Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov Fisher, the Sefer on Chumash, Evan Yisrael, in Parshas Korach, he says that the idea of Aaron's staff blossoming, right, that's what the Pasuk says, all of a sudden these shkedim, these almonds start blossoming on a staff. How does a staff blossom? It's not connected to the ground. A tree that's connected to the aretz should be able to sprout fruit. How does a wooden staff that's not connected to the ground sprout fruit? And the answer is, because it's not about being connected to the aretz, it's not about necessarily our efforts on the aretz that produces the spiritual, that produces the success, the physical success. Aaron and Cohen prove that my staff, which is not connected to the ground, can also produce fruit. So don't make the mistake to think, right, that you're doing the kolel guy a favor by supporting him. Maybe he's helping your business to thrive, right, through his learning. Okay, that's a big part of what this machlokas was about. The Romans essentially were saying that because of the terrible poverty that exists amongst the Jewish people, there's not going to be Torah. It was a time of terrible oppression in Jewish history that in Ein Kamach, if the Jewish community is so impoverished, so Ein Torah, the Torah is going to be destroyed. Right? The mill is broken, the grinding mill is broken, there's no flour. How are you going to fix that? How are you going to stitch that up? And sort of the punchline, his response to them, we'll have to learn it, try our best to learn through it, but his punchline basically is, what you think that what? That we don't have food, and therefore we're not going to have Torah? If we double down on our efforts to Torah, which we will, so we're going to get back to our physical and financial success. So that's really the punchline of the piece, and of course that has everything to do with how the Vilna Gaon lived his life. The Vilna Gaon understood in the most real way, that it's our spiritual efforts, right, that gives us our physical success, and not God forbid the other way around. Okay, well, let's try to read a little bit inside. Let's see if we can understand this again. This really, really sugya of emein kamach in Torah, emein Torah, emein kamach. Okay, so he says Islan vir hagra, Islan rechaya de tvira. There was a grinding mill that was broken. That's what the sages of Athens said. Ha'inyan k'moshen amar, like the Navi Yirmiyah says, v'avadti mehem, dot, 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 kol sason v'kol simcha, kol rechayim v'or ner. V'avadti mehem, it'll be lost from them, it'll be taken from them, the sound of the rechayim and the light of the candle. What does that mean? Ha'inyan k'moshen amru, the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, kol rechayim b'borni. If you hear the sound of the grinding mill in a town called Borni, Shvua Haben, Shvua Haben Sham. Shvua Haben means a bris milah. The week of the boy. That means in a week's time, there's going to be a bris. So in Borni, in the town of Borni, when a child was born, when a son was born, and there's going to be a bris, Right? One of the ways they would celebrate it is you'd hear the sound of the grinding mill preparing for the Suda. The Suda's for Smila. Or Haner B'barur Chayil. If you see light coming from a place called Barur Chayil, Mishtasham, Mishtasham. There's a wedding there, there's a wedding there. So says the Navi Yirmiyah, V'avadati Mehem, there could be a loss of what? Of the Kol Rechayim V'or Ner. But let's focus on the Kol Rechayim. The Kol Rechayim, the grinding mill, again, represents preparing for a feast, and specifically when a child, a male child, is born. Says the Graf, V'hu kamo she'amru, Shichakim, one of the names of the heavens is called Shichakim, and it's called Shichakim Shebo Rechayim Omdos, because in that place called Shichakim, in that level of the heavens called Shichakim, there's a grinding mill, there's some type of Rechayim, and it's Tochnos Man LeTzadikim, and it grinds up the man for the Tzadikim. Okay. Kavo Shenemar VeYitzav Shichakim MiMa'al, Vidalse Shamayim Pasach. He commands the grinding mill of the heavens above and opens the gates of the doors of the Shamayim. Udigon Shamayim Nosan Lamo. Okay. Vahu Mizonos Shechasru Begalus. So if the grinding mill represents, again, a proper amount of food, and in one of the places in Shamayim, Tzadikim, it's a place called grinding, Shechakim, where the mun is ground up in order to be provided for the tzaddikim. In other words, a person who's a righteous person, right? Lo ra'isi tzaddik nezav, v'zar mevakish lachem. I've never seen, we don't see tzaddikim, who HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't take care of, sometimes in miraculous ways. Okay? So, this idea of the Navi Yirmiyah saying, v'avaditi mehem mekol rechayim, it means that there's going to be a period of exile, because of our spiritual shortcomings, where there's going to be a lack of mezonos. And that's exactly what was happening during this, you know, period, around the end of Bayis Sheni, or right after the Churban, when the Romans are basically mocking us and saying, look how the Jewish people are suffering from intense poverty. It's a sign of galus, and it's a sign that your Torah is falling apart. Because of main kemach in Torah. That's essentially what they're hinting to. We haven't seen that, he hasn't quoted that Mishnah yet, but that's the idea. Kamo shenamar uvatlu hatochnos ki mi'etu. Right? The grinding has ceased because there are few to grind. Va'amru, and furthermore, as the Gemara says, anida zachar zekar ki karo imo. Zachar, male, a masculine child, the obligation of a man to provide, God willing, for his spouse. Zachar zekar kikaro imo. His loaf is with him. Nikeva, on the other hand, is nikiaba, that she comes sort of empty-handed. And that's part of the curse of Adam Rishon, that a man has to provide for his wife. B'zeyas apecha tocholechem. It's part of the contractual obligation of every ksuba, that I'm going to support my wife. It's not her job to support me, it's my job to support her. Ulefichach rechayim simin lebet. And therefore, the grinding mill is associated with what? He's associated with a ben. He's associated with a zachar, associated with masculine. And that's why, again, going back to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, when a baby boy was born, you would hear the sound of the grinding mill. Okay. Grug gave us a lot of pieces. Now, just take a look for a second at footnote 868. Okay, Beraya Mehemna, quoting a passage in the Zohar. Bini b'chori Yisrael. Kegavna da leis lon liyisrael mizona begalusa, ella al yedei umin da alma. When the Jewish people are in galus, we only receive our mazon by way of the umin da alma, by way of the umas ha'olam. In other words, when we're in exile, right? Because again, you might think, well, yeah, because we're going through physically difficult times. That's why we're struggling. No. Exile is a spiritual experience, but because when spirituality is down, that means physicality is down as well. So in Galus, a Jew only receives his mizonos, says the Zohar, by way of the Umas Ha'olam. Aval kad inon ba'arad Yisrael, but when a Jew is in Eretz Yisrael, mizonayan al yedei shchinta. We receive our mizonos from the Shechina itself. Whatever that means exactly in the Zohar. Okay? And then he quotes, in the next line, he quotes from He says, Ayin bebris Yitzchak, l'Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver. Look what he writes here, seven lines down. V'zeh sod gadol b'divrei chazal, al pasuk v'hayo b'yom ahu, tikri'i li ishi, v'lo tikri'i li od ba'ali. It's a pasuk in the second parak of Hosea. That on that great day, the time will come when we'll no longer just be married like the level of a Baal, but in fact you'll call me your ish, your man. What's the difference between a Baal and an Ish? They both mean husband. But Hashem is saying, a time will come and once again there'll be a level of Ishus, not just Baal. What's the difference between a Baal and an Ish? Amru Chazal, kekala v'beis chamea, v'lo kekala v'beis aviyah. What does that mean? V'hu kishnei dvar mechuyav ha'ish l'ishto. There's really two elements in terms of the responsibility and the relationship that exists between a husband and wife. On the one hand, there's a very practical element to the marriage, right? So that means someone's going to do laundry, and someone's going to take out the garbage, and someone's going to cook dinner. Right? There's a very simple responsibility for a husband to provide for his wife in terms of her physical needs, lemizonos, uksus, ushar tzarchei habayis, whatever it is that is needed to build a home. But then, of course, there's a more intimate element of a marriage, which is what? That we're not just paying taxes together and doing shopping together and doing laundry together, but rather, lezivug lahotzi toldos. Right? We hope to what? To have an intimate relationship, to be mekayem mitzvah puravu, and to build a family together. We live together. Sleep in the same bedroom. Right? So it's not just a roommate. There's something much deeper. V'al rishon nikra baal, v'asheni lezivug nikra ish. Baal is almost more of like a contractual, almost like a business relationship. Ish is the term that's used for what? For the more intimate ish v'isha relationship. Ishus, more intimate relationship. Sho v'eis shi Yisrael shruyim alad masam. So when the Jewish people are in their land, right, when we're close to Hashem, when we have a proper relationship with Hashem, the Rabbi Hosea is saying, you're not going to call me Baal anymore. We're not just, right? It's one of my Rabbim likes to say, Hashem is not just a giant ATM machine in the sky. You know, we daven and we say, give me this, give me that, right? We're not just doing business. I'll give you some mitzvahs, you'll give me some parnasa. I'll give you some Torah, you'll give me some health. Right? It's not just a business utilitarian relationship. There's something much deeper than that. Right? So when we're in Eretz Yisrael, v'oz hu nikra b'shem ish, masha ein kein, when we're in Galus, b'galus oz nikra b'shem Baal. In Galus, we're called Baal, which means that we're not really connecting in a deep way. And that's sort of what the sages of Athens are saying to Rabbi Yoshua. Right? Look, your relationship with Hashem is not even producing food anymore. The grinding stone is broken. Your whole relationship is falling apart. So all the more so, you don't have the intimate aspect of your relationship, namely Torah. Right? You don't have the Hashras HaShechina in your life. You don't have Beis HaMikdash anymore. Okay? All right, so let's see. Let's go a little further. So says the Gra, V'nemar, back up top, next paragraph. V'nemar ha'kol kol Yaakov v'yadayim yidei Esav. There's always this balance between what? Kisha kol kol Yaakov oz ein ha'yadayim yidei Esav. When we have our voice strong, when we're learning Torah in a strong way, then the hands are not the hands of Esav. So let's try to apply this to what we just learned a second ago. Right? In Galus, Hashem still sustains us. But we don't feel, it's not like Shechakim, it's not like that place in Shemayim where what? Where the heavens are grinding man for tzaddikim, where Hashem is giving you man. Man is HaKadosh Baruch Hu providing you with food in a very direct and intimate type of way. So if the Kol Kol Yaakov, if our voice is strong in Torah, then we don't ain't a dime a day, so I don't need to receive from the hands of it. I don't need to get my hand out from the Umas HaOlam. When the Kol is Kol Yaakov, ain't a dime a day, so. But if the voice of Yaakov is not strong, so then what? So then Yadayim de Esav. Not only does Esav dominate us in terms of his strength, but we become dependent upon Esav. We're not going to eat the man anymore. We're not going to get food from Hashem. We're going to have to kiss up to our boss to try to get a raise. Because we're foolishly, in a gullish mentality, thinking that he's the source of our parnasa. As Mekuyam be'Esav, and then Esav, the truth of the pasuk regarding Esav occurs, and that is, turning the page, Al-charbucha tichya. By your sword you shall live, u'mishmanei ha'aretz moshavecha. So mi gar l'chol zeh. How does it happen that Esav sometimes, so to speak, takes the brachos? Hakol kol Yaakov, if the kol of Yaakov is strong, then the Yadayim are not Yidei Esav. So mi gar l'chol zeh, she'in machzike Yidei Talmidei Chacham v'Yisrael, az nechser hamizonos lahem v'zeh agalus. When we stop giving generously to Talmidei Chachamim, because we feel like, why should I give to this person? Tell him to go get his own job. Then we have a total perversion of an understanding of how Parnassah comes to this world. It's the schus of the Talmud Chacham, right, that causes your business to be successful. Because if the kol is not kol Yaakov, then you die in the Esav. Right, then you're going to become meshubid to what? To the Umas Olam. And therefore it's so important for a person to be supportive of Talmidei Chachamim and to understand again, what's the cause and what's the effect? Who's helping who? Kamosha Amru Vayar Kilo Yachol Lo Vayiga Bakaf Yerecho. Where's that pasuk? Yaakov's fighting the Malach, right? Mm-hmm. And he realizes that he can't get him. Vayar Kilo Yachol Lo. He realizes he can't overpower Yaakov. Yaakov is again the paradigm of Torah, right? Avram is Chesed, Yitzchak is Avoda, Yaakov is Torah, three pillars upon which the world stands. When he realizes, you know what, I can't stop Yaakov from being connected to Torah, so where does he hit him? He hits him in the legs. He hits him in the thigh. He hits him in the kaf yarech. What is the kaf yarech? What do feet do? Feet cause a person to stand. It gives me kiyum. It holds me up. So who holds up the Talmidei Chachamim? Who keeps the Beis Medrash going? The supporters of Torah. The machzikei HaTorah. Shehein birkei Talmidei Chachamim. So to speak, the satan, when he realizes, I can't get the people to stop learning Torah, but the best way to shut down the yeshiva is to what? Is to get the people who are not learning the yeshiva, who are supporting the yeshiva, to decide they don't want to support the yeshiva anymore. I'm tired of supporting the yeshiva. The yeshiva should go find someone else to support them. And that's the legs. Those are the thighs. Those are the knees. Those are the legs of the Talmidei Chachamim, hamachzik behem, that hold them up. Veheim mezonos shel Talmidei Chachamim, and they are the food, the supporters of Talmidei Chachamim. Visham harechayim omdos, shehein nekrao shechakim, ki adu elameven. And the supporters of Torah, they're the grinders. They're the ones who are, you know, grinding it out, so to speak, at the office, right? To supply the food to the Talmidei Chachamim, to make sure that what? That Torah is strong in the world. So they're the legs, they're the supporters. The machzikei HaTorah. V'zeh shenemar v'chol banayich limudei Hashem. Very interesting. Beautiful pshat in the pasuk. The pasuk says, v'chol banayich, the Navi Yeshaya says, v'chol banayich limudei Hashem. What do we say, ben? Ben is synonymous with what? A ben, as opposed to a male, as opposed to a female, represents what? One who has an obligation to provide parnasa. Right? When you hear the kol rechaim, you know, it's a shua haben, a bris milah is coming up. It's the man's job to provide. So the chol banayich, it's through the ben, it's through the rechaim, it's through the people who are supporting that limud de Hashem that allows the Torah to continue.
Is it also connected that the zachar is like the giver?
The zachar is the giver, right? He has to be mashpia. He has to give, right? So shua haben, simen harechaim. Okay, v'day lemevim. But again, what we have to understand is that while on a surface level, it's dafka, the efforts of kol banayich, it's those who are supporting, it's the legs that are keeping Yaakov strong, right? It's the kol, on a surface level, again, it's the supporters that are allowing the Torah to be learned. But on a deeper level, no. On a deeper level, it's really the Torah which brings the parnasa. Right? So when it looks like the millstone is broken, and therefore that's going to cause a damage to Torah, and that's really what the sages of Athens are suggesting to Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says back to them, right, the millstone can't really be broken, because the millstone is not operating independent. It's not an independent thing. When we fortify ourselves in Torah, which we always do, the Jewish people always bounce back. So you're right, you know, wise men of Athens, you're right, this is a difficult period in Jewish history. But when we fortify ourselves, when Rabbi Yeshua says, when we strengthen ourselves in Torah, you'll see all of our parnassah is going to come back. You're looking at it backwards. You're looking at him, Ein Kamach. Oh, so good. Ein Torah is not going to be any Torah for the Jewish people. But we see it, Ein Torah, Ein Kamach. Because we're not as diligent as we need to be in Torah, that's why what? That's why we're facing this shortage of Kamach. And if we double down on our efforts in Torah, the Kamach will come. That's the fundamental difference in terms of the perspective of the sages of Athens versus Rabbi Yeshua and the you know, true Torah perspective. Okay, so now, let's try a little more. Ubikesh Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu. Now, we're still missing part of the mashal, because what are they saying? What do they say to Rabbi Yeshua? Fix the, try to, we dare you, we challenge you to try to fix the millstone. Right? You don't have any money. You don't have food. You're not going to have Torah. So he says, well, maybe if you pull out some threads, then I could sew it up. So we have to add the beged element. We don't know what the begadim represent yet. What do threads represent? We've dealt with the bread. We understand parnas a little bit. Kemach, the grinding stone. That much we're starting to understand. But what does clothing have to do with anything? Because when we, you know, when you're sewing something, we're talking about clothing. So what does clothing represent? So Yaakov Avinu davened, Bikesh Yaakov lechem lechol ubeged lilvosh. Of course, everything in Torah operates on many levels. On a simple level, Yaakov Avinu is saying, Hashem, I'm not looking to drive a fancy car and have a big house. I'm looking to what? Hashem, if you'll meet my basic human needs, if you give me food and clothing. But of course, Yaakov Avinu is not just a person. Yaakov Avinu is an idea. He was a real person, of course. But Yaakov Avinu is an idea. We're Yaakov Avinu. And therefore, that tefillah of Yaakov Avinu, Hashem, please give me bread and give me clothing. So what's Yaakov really asking for in Pnimius? Says the Vilna Gaon, right? Lechem, of course, is Torah. What are begadim? V'inyan ha-begadim k'mo shenemar va'at eirom ve'erya. This is a pasuk that we're going to say in the Haggadah Shal Pesach. Va'at eirom, you were naked, ve'erya and bare. Naked and bare of what? He says, she'ein la-torah u'masim tovim. Clothing represents, as it said very clearly in footnote 885, Hamidos hein nekros begadim. Midos and ma'asim tovim, our actions and our good deeds, are called begadim. So Yaakov Avinu says, Hashem, what do I want in this world? All I want is lechem, all I want is Torah, and mitzvos. That's all I want. And yet the Navi Yecheskel criticizes us, right? Or we bring it into the Haggadah Shel Pesach, describing kind of the state of the Jewish people when we left Mitzrayim, and we were naked and bare, naked of Torah, bear from mitzvos. Okay, we didn't have it. So now, look what the Gra says. Very subtle point here. He says, chaluka derabanan. What is a chaluka derabanan? Chaluka derabanan means a rebbish garment. A chaluk means like a cloak. Chaluka derabanan. It's a spiritual concept, but it also just means rabbinic garb. Traditional rabbinic garb, right? You know, Rosh Yeshiva doesn't, a big rebbe, right? He doesn't walk around in a t-shirt and shorts. Right? Rabbi Nachman was very particular about, you know, the body should be covered with the exception of the parts that are meant to stick out. Right? The body's supposed to be covered. So big rebbe, you are a long bekesha, right? That drags down to the floor. Chaluka derabanan. Because what it represents is that what? He's enveloped, he's wrapped totally in garments. Garments, of course, again, in Pnimius we're saying, garments are midos u'maisim tovim. So now, says the Gra, kol ha-mislabish b'talis shel talmid chacham v'chulu. What's he referring to? So look at footnote 886. It's Gemara in Bava Basra. Kol ha-mizga'e b'talis shel talmid chacham v'eino talmid chacham, ein machnisin oso b'michitzaso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Very strong line. Anyone who tries to wear the talis, the garments of a talmid chacham, if you dress like a big rebbe, right? But it's only an expression of your gaiva, and you're not really, you don't really practice that way. You're not, your character is not such. Your actions do not reflect that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you might be able to trick people down below, but you're not tricking me up above. Ein machnisin osav michitzaso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's not going to be welcomed into HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, you know, court. Right? Maybe he can run around down here pretending he's a big rebbe, but Hashem's not going to fall for it. What's the point? Says the Gra back up top. Vizel, going back to the pasuk that we started with in Yirmiyah. Va'avadati mehem kol rechayim va'or ner. The Navi Yirmiyah says the painful truth of Galus is that there's going to be a diminishing of the rechayim. You're not going to hear the sound of the grinding mill. And there's going to be what? There's going to be a loss of light of candle. What does that mean? Shuhu Torah. Ki im ein kemach ein Torah. V'hu or ner ki ner mitzvah Torah or. That there's going to be a diminishing in Galus. There's going to be a lack of food, but don't focus on the lack of food. Understand that the lack of food is the result of a lack of Beis HaMikdash. It's a lack of connection to real tzaddikim. It's too many people, says the Vilna Gaon, pretending to wear the chalukah de Rabbanan, but not really being people who are Torah and Midos and Maisim Tovim through and through. As the Pasuk says, Uvatlu hatochnos ki me'eto. There's going to be a diminishing of the grinders because they are few. V'chashchu haro'os ba'arubos. And there's going to be a diminishing of those who look through the windows. What does that mean? Sheheim einei ha'eda. Looking through the window, right? Like the Navi calls a prophet, a tzofa. Kamo shenamar tzofa nisaticha lebeis Yisrael. I've made you a seer for the Jewish people. We call the members of the Sanhedrin the einei ha'eda, the eyes of the people. People of perspective. Where Pesachim says, Talmud Chacham is like a watchtower. Because when you're up high, you can see, you have a broad view. If you have a true Torah perspective, you understand things in a broad way. You don't see things in a narrow way. You understand the true cause and effect of things. So the Navi Yirmiyah is lamenting the fact that there's going to be what? You're not going to hear the sound of the grinding mill. And because of that, there's going to be a lack of Torah and mitzvos. Right? There's going to be a breakdown of tzaddikim, of Nevi'im. There's going to be people dressing the part but not actually living the part. And therefore Yaakov Avinu, his tefillah for himself, as he experiences his own galus, which is Maisa Avos Simul Labanim for all of us, is that Yaakov davens, Hashem, please help me to have lechem and help me to have begadim. I hope I'm davening that when the Jewish people in the future, when they're in galus, they don't spend their whole time worrying about, oh my gosh, you know, the price of gas is $5 a gallon. The price of gas is $5 a gallon because we don't learn Torah seriously. It's hard for us to believe. No, it's not. The price of gas is $5 a gallon because some Russia, right? Some Russia named Putin from a place called Russia, yeah, is waging war in Ukraine. And that has, you know, that has economic ramifications. That's not true. Yaakov Yinu Davind, we should know that Lechem Lechol Ubeged Lilbosh. We should understand the relationship of Lechem and Beged to Torah and Midos and Maasim Tovah. So now let's get back to our piece of Agadah and wrap up. Vizeu Sha'amru, last paragraph on page Ayin. Vizeu Sha'amru. This is what the Gemara references in Brachos and Davav. Hane birke derabanan dishalhi. When the knees, the birke means the knees, when the knees of the rabbis are shalhi, are fatigued. Again, who are the knees of the rabbis? When Yaakov got hit in the thigh, in the legs, that's referring to the Machzikei Torah. So when people are fatigued, how many different stuck organizations are going to come collecting? How am I going to, if I give away all my money, how am I going to have a parnasa? Don't you understand the source of your parnasa is the fact that you give generously to be mechazek people who are involved in Torah and mitzvos? So hane birke derabanan, the fatigued, the shalhi, right? Shalhi means weakened, fatigued. The fatigued knees of the rabbis, in other words, the supporters of Torah who feel burnt out, minayhu hava. The Gemara says it comes from them. I don't remember what the Gemara is talking about over there in Brachos Davav, talking about Mazikin, Shaden. Right? When the rabbi's knees are weak, it's because there are demonic beings. But on a very simple level, explains the Vilna Gaon. Right? When we start to think that what? When we start to think that the source of my parnasa is my own efforts and fail to realize that what? That it's the Torah that I'm supporting that is causing me to have the financial success. So that's me na yuhave. That's an outsider's view. That comes from the mazikim. That's not coming from within. That's not a Torah true perspective. She'ein machzikim talmidei chachamim v'hu min ha'umos she'heim ha'mazikim v'hein omdim aleinu kekisla l'ugya. Right? We're surrounded, the Gemara says, again, let me read the words carefully. Right? People who don't support talmidei chachamim, right? Where does that come from? It comes from the umos, the nations of the world. They are our mazikin. They're the ones who are always targeting us, anti-Semitism. looking down on us for our Torah values. Vehein omdim aleinu, the Gemara says, and we're surrounded by mazikim, by sheidim, right, which again he's saying is in the form of the oppressive nations of the world, kekisla leugya, like a trench that's carved out around a mound of dirt. We're surrounded. In other words, we feel surrounded. That's what Galus is. What's Galus? I'm living, right? Galus is I'm surrounded. Yeah, I have my little Jewish community, but if you zoom out a little bit, we're completely surrounded. And that has a hashpa on our perspective. We start to confuse how things actually operate. We don't understand cause and effect. Shehu ish sada. Esav is the ish sada. Esav is the man of the field. So we get pulled into what? Into the world of thinking that my parnasa comes from my efforts in the field. The more I plow, the more I plan, the more hours I spend in my office, the more financial success I'm going to have. Hane mone derabanan debale, says the Gemara further in Brachos and Daf Vav. Hane mone derabanan. Mone means clothing. The hane means these garments of the rabbis debale that get worn out. Again, it comes from the fact that what? That they're rubbing up against us. If you see a rabbi whose suit is worn out, yeah, it's because of all the shadim who are constantly trying to what? To rub off on him, to have a hashpa on him, a negative hashpa on him. K'mo shenamar v'yisarvu bagayim on the last page. Like the Pasuk says, that they mingled amongst the nations of the world. And unfortunately, that causes us to what? It causes us to start to think like them, and to not understand again. Really, where does my success come from? He says in footnote 894, "Ulai kavanaso." Perhaps what the Gra is getting at here is mishum hakirva v'hischachmus imaumos mafsidim es achaluka derabanan big day tamar chacham. What does it mean? The garments get worn out. The garments become frayed. It means that you're no longer worthy of the chaluka derabanan because you're not a real rebbe. You're more interested in Olam Hazah, right? Okay, you learn a little bit of Torah, right? But when the garments get worn out, when the Torah is not having a hashpa on you, like a conversation I had with someone earlier today, is describing to me this feeling of like, you know, I learned Torah, but I don't feel like it's permeating my being, right? It's because I'm not fully in the Beis Medrash, because I'm half in the Beis Medrash, but I'm half out of the Beis Medrash. So the garments are not being fashioned properly. Again, the garments means that I'm being enveloped by it. But the garments are fraying a little bit. The garments are a little bit worn out. Okay, so now with this introduction of sorts, let's see how the Gra reads the Gemara. V'zeo sha'amru. So now let's see this one-liner of Agadata. Islan rechaya desvira. The sages of Athens said, look, it seems like the grinding stone, the millstone, has been broken. As harechayim shalachem shenishbru. Islan u'achshav. It seems like you used to have the grinding mill. The Jewish people were very dominant. You had a Beis HaMikdash. You had a powerful Jewish people. And now look, it seems like the millstone has broken. And now it's by us. Zil chayte. Try to sew it up. In other words, what? The little bit of Torah that you have, it's not, you don't have the garments. Your garments are falling apart. The Torah is not having a proper hashpa on you. And part of the reason that you're not able to commit to Torah is because you're so worried about what? Lechem, ein kem lachin Torah. And since you're so impoverished, that just means your Torah knowledge is going to get less and less, and your garments are going to be less and less. And eventually Torah is going to, again, what the sages of Athens have claimed all along, that Torah is bound to fizzle out. So Amar Lehu, so he said back to them, Kruchi li mina garde va'achayte. Draw out from the broken millstone, some threads, some strands, and I'll sew it up. The Ayin Rashi, Hotziu Chutin Mimani Debalu, pull out some strings, some threads, from the garments that are worn out, Mimani Debalu, from garments that are worn out. Sheyuchlu Lekayim HaTorah, Va'oz Echayte Gamal Rechayim. What's he saying to them? He's saying, if you can pull out, if we can keep doing mitzvos and ma'asim tov, if we can extract a little bit of mitzvos and midos, right, then I'll be able to what? I'll be able to sew back together the millstone. In other words, if we can, he's saying that if we can find it within ourselves to strengthen our commitment to Torah and mitzvos, so then I'll be able to make sure that the parnasa will come back. So they said back to him, Amru umi ika diyachol lemichrach garde merichaya. Is it possible to draw out strands of threads from a millstone? In other words, ki achrei she'ein kemach ein tara. What they're saying back to him is that, what do you mean? They're saying, what do you mean draw? Ein kemach ein tara. If the millstone is broken, so then where are we going to get threads from? In other words, if there's no real Torah, then there's not going to be real mitzvos and ma'asim tovim. If we're not rooted in Torah. So essentially what they're claiming is, so because you're impoverished, there's no way to recover in Torah. It can't be. You're not going to be able to get your Torah back. Amar lehu, so he says back to them, it's not true. Your whole worldview is backwards. Umi ika dechaita rechaya. Is it possible to sew together a millstone? What does he mean? Ki em ein Torah ein kamach. He says back to them, em ein Torah ein kamach. In other words, you don't have to sew together a millstone. You just have to learn Torah, and the millstone will fix itself. Since we don't have any threads left, right? We don't even have, in other words, we don't have proper mitzvah samayisim tovim. So the sages of Athens are saying, exactly, so you got nothing, you have mamish nothing left. So he says back to them, no, but we can get it all back if we just commit ourselves to Torah. If we don't even have threads, we don't even have mitzvahs like we once had. But if we can just get back the Torah, Shehua Torah, Kamosh Kasavti Leil, if we can get the Torah back, then we won't need to stitch together the millstone. Right? It'll come automatically through our efforts in Torah.
Because they have nothing to use to sew it.
It sounds like, again, the sages of Athens are, well, so he first kind of set them up. He said to them, well, again, it's a hard piece. But I think he's saying to them, right, what's he saying to them when he says, you know, so pull out some threads and I'll put it back together. Right? He's setting them up to say, you know, he says, again, the threads we said are the mitzvahs of Ma'asim Tovim. So he says, by their terms, they're basically saying, like, okay, just accept that, like, whatever amount of financial success you're going to have is going to be based on a couple of mitzvahs that you're still holding on to.
But if they don't have any threads,
to which they don't have any mitzvahs. So they said, what do you mean? There's no such thing as threads that come from a broken millstone. You can't pull threads out of that. In other words, there are no real mitzvahs of Ma'asim Tovim. You can't survive mitzvahs of Ma'asim Tovim without Torah. So he basically says back to them, right, and I don't need to fix a broken millstone by trying to sew it together. If I just have Torah back, I'll have Torah, then I'll have mitzvahs of Ma'asim Tovim, and the rabbis will have their proper chalukah derabanan, and then mamela, all the parnasa will come. So Yaakov's tefillah and hope of lechem lechol ubeged lilbosh, right? Again, the perspective of Athens is im ein kemach in Torah. Without food, there can't be Torah. And his response to them, right, is im ein Torah ein kemach. The reason that we're impoverished is not because you're dominating us. It's because we've lost our commitment to Torah. And if we strengthen our commitment to Torah, kol Yaakov, if we get our voice back, then ein yadayim yedei Esav. And we're not going to be dependent upon you for sustenance. And we're not going to be subservient to you. We're no longer going to be subservient to the world of Rome. So I know, Rome, you think you've defeated us spiritually. And the proof is sort of, you know, now we're defeated financially, physically. And therefore we'll never get back to our spiritual ways of old. But Rabbi Yeshua reveals the secret that no, spirituality comes first. If the spirituality is strong, then all of the kemach will fall into place. Powerful thing to think about in the week that, you know, that we lost the Gadol B'Yisrael, whose whole life was Torah. Everything was Torah. Yes, Rav Chaim Kanevsky, any question, what should I do about this situation? Learn. Just learn. He understood that the Torah generates the Kelach. Torah generates life. Kim Chayinu Baruch Yemeinu. Yes, Yona.
It kind of seems against what we've been learning kind of all year, and from everything that we learned in Inyan and Shel Torah Chassidus, kind of seems the opposite of what we've learned all year.
Why? Why do you say the opposite?
Because it's saying you need to be.
I mean, first of all, if the Gra is saying the opposite of Chassidus, that's not an impossibility. That's not a fact, right? We would expect it to be that. But why? I don't even see why you're saying that.
Because it's saying we need to learn, like he's saying, without learning. Like, we're not, like, you can't find, you can't find the like love that we say you're supposed, like not the love, the kadosh that you're supposed to have when you're eating food, like without learning, you say you say yourself, you don't need to be in the base medrash in order to.
I don't think he's talking about the avoda of serving Hashem with gashmias. I think he's talking on a much more, you know, kind of simple, fundamental level, right? Of where do I get my, where, how do I have my needs met?
Same source.
There's a mitzvah of hishtadlus. Right? There's a mitzvah of hishtadlus. That's part of the curse of Adam Rishon, that we're forced to pretend that we work and that's how we make money. Right? But I say we're forced to pretend because in truth, it's still, everything is still given to you by Hashem. You know how hard it is to actually believe the Gemara that says that on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur that our financial success is determined for the whole year? You would never have to check your stocks once. No? You wouldn't have to make one trade. You wouldn't have to think about it at all. But how am I going to get the money then? If I don't make a good move, how am I going to get the money? If I don't work, how is that going to... I don't know. Hashem has his ways.
Bitcoin to the hundreds.
I don't know how it works. But the point is, don't make the mistake. If you're a person of means, don't think, right, that you're doing Torah a favor by supporting Torah. Understand, I think it's such a simple takeaway. Understand that what? That the money that Hashem has bestowed upon you is for you to be able to enhance ruchnius in the world. And to the degree that there's more Torah in the world, there's going to be more financial success and more kemach in the world, more sustenance in the world. And to the degree that we think that kemach leads the way, that's a Roman Athens philosophical worldview. Okay. I hope we did all right. So we should be zocha. We should be zocha to be strong in Torah and mitzvos.
Yeah.
And we should realize that again. Don't cut corners in Torah and mitzvos. As long as the kol Yaakov is strong, then nothing can overpower us. Nothing can dominate us. That's the greatest source of life, source of sustenance. And it's important. It's important to be thankful. If you become a businessman, if you don't become a rabbi, you don't become a guy who's learning in kolel, and you become a person who's in the working world, which I'm sure some of us will become. Right? Remind yourself time and time again that the Torah that you support is what's going to bring you your success. The Torah creates the Kemach, not the Kemach creating the Torah, facilitating Torah. All right. We should be zeicha to have the right hashkafa. Not easy.
So the threads are not.